You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report to the Peter Ryan Coinspice.io.
With the Peter Ryan Report. This is on CoinSpice, episode 8. And we, of course, have the beautiful and talented Peter Ryan with us back again. This time, we're going to look at a research report that he put out. He's got a shingle. He's got his own company out there doing some fantastic work. And his first sort of formal product was called Community Perspectives, looking at Q2 of 2019. And you know, it's interesting reading all on its own. You can, you know, we'll link to it and you can find it. It's not overly jargon filled. It's not too heady. It's not too wordy. It's graphic oriented. It's pleasant to look at. It's quick. So, you know, you want to find out sort of what he's proposing or maybe where he sees the numbers lead. It's really, really well done. And I would say that even if he wasn't a part of what we do here. But what I wanted to get a sense of is kind of how it came together. But first off, man, thanks for coming on again.
Always happy to be here. And yeah, I hope everyone goes to ryanresearch.co, downloads the latest Community Perspectives report for Q2, check out what all these different very interesting people that come from various perspectives think, you know, where is the market going? What are some unique things happening in terms of the technology, in terms of entrants that are coming into the space? And, you know, really see where they line up, where they differ. In the front of the report, you can see, you know, a few multiple choice questions I asked each subject. You know, are we in a bull market or a bear market? You can see what they decide there. You know, is crypto ready for commercial adoption? You can see if it, you know, how many people said yes, how many people said no. And it really gives you a breakdown of about, you know, over 20, you know, different folks in the crypto industry that bring a lot of different great insights. You know, what's really making them tick and how they see the industry moving forward. That it's hard to really get that from any one article or any, you know, quick overview of your Twitter feed, because everything is so dispersed, distributed, and this is a really good way to kind of bottle up all those comments and all those insights into, you know, one quick snapshot.
Yeah, I like it. There's in my business, we get a lot of technical analysis and over metricing of the space, and we tend to forget how human it is. And that these decisions are not being made by bots. And I realize I'm going to get a lot of pushback on that from listeners, but they really are being made by actual people. So to take the temperature of the space in the way that you have, I think is really, really, really valuable. I noticed you got a cross section. So there's some people I know, there's some developers I know, personalities I know, and then there are people that are kind of sort of behind the scenes, like, you had Bernard Mueller. He's a product engineer for Consensus. I believe you had someone from Circle. Rhea from Circle, who's an analyst. Why did you choose the folks, the particular folks that show up in this research report? Like, why do their opinions matter?
I think everyone in the crypto industry has an opinion that matters, for sure, if I can be very politically correct. But why I chose these folks is because I find that they have an insight that is, you know, not as, you know, hyped up in terms of, you know, you can find what Vitalik thinks on something, you can find what you know, Adam Back thinks about something. You can find what a lot of
good point. Mm-hmm.
you know, big, definitely big names, not to diminish any subject that is in the report, but just to say that, you know, there are large personalities that sort of have a very powerful sway on the narrative of, you know, what the industry is doing. And I thought these folks have a really interesting perspective because they're a little bit more, you know, head down. They don't really have the limelight on them, and they may be able to see things that other people can't see, you know, around corners just because of their unique vantage points. And then next, I wanted to make sure that I could find that cross section of people, because just personally, when I'm consuming information, I do like to check my bias. I do like to make sure that I'm not just, you know, taking in or even writing and outputting, you know, things that are coming from one source or a particular point of view that really kind of puts blinders on. And so even if there's disagreements that I have with some of the folks that are in there or not, I think it's good to really have that breadth of, you know, we can't pretend that, you know, oh, we're in one coin group and so we can't have that coin's person talking, you know, about this. And especially in the context of the report that I wanted to show where, you know, I'm not validating any one opinion that someone has in this. I'm not saying, you know, this is fact checked and, you know, here's the lie or the truth meter. What I'm doing is trying to actually gauge an objective, you know, analysis of here's some people working in the space in different coin groups and in different roles in terms of are they a researcher? Are they an analyst? Are they an investor? Are they a developer? Are they, you know, an application developer? Are they a protocol developer? You know, all these sort of layers. So you can actually take this and, you know, in real time, you know, have a really good sentiment of what's happening. But also maybe, you know, in a few months you look back and say, wow, you know, this is what, you know, the person that let's say was really into ETH was saying then, and then look what they're saying 6 months down the road. And then kind of linking those together. So I think it's pretty interesting once you start putting all those things together, then, you know, just having, oh, well, you know, here's a PR blast about, you know, X protocol upgrade and, you know, isn't this great? And here's the rollout of all the people that are in the same company that are going to talk to you about it. So yeah, that can be good for some purposes. I think this is really, supposed to give a diverse, you know, view into the crypto industry with people that are working in various roles and various coins and then have unique vantage points that, you know, they can see around corners where others can't.
And I think they're collective because they're so diverse. I mean, you have Blockstream people in there, Casa people in there, you have Bitcoin.com people in there. I mean, these are, in other circumstances, they're at each other's throats. And yet, when you put them all together, they really do kind of form a picture of the space, a snapshot of the space right now in 2019, in the second quarter. And one of the first, I guess, pie chart slides that stood out to me was the fact that they were largely in agreement. It's actually very sobering. As far as heading towards a bull market. So you have them here, hardly any believe that it was going to, you know, heading toward a bear market. I'd say 33% were neutral, but almost 70% of this diverse group are believing some sort of bull market, however that's, you know, loosely defined, is happening. And what's sort of interesting in real time, now again, the market could dump right when we're speaking, but it does seem to be actually headed in a bold direction.
A thought popped into my mind just now. I should have asked them, do you think this bull market is a good thing or a bad thing? Because even if we're heading for a bull, you know, is that exactly the best thing for where, you know, everything is at right now? If we really need another potential bubble burst. But yeah, to the main point there, everyone was practically in agreement that we are in and we are heading towards a bull market, with 33% kind of staying on the sideline to say, hey, we're sort of staying neutral. We don't know one way or the other. But it's really interesting to see that, yeah, all these people, different viewpoints, agree that things are going to go up. Number will go up, as they say, in the technical realm. But what's a little bit more interesting is you get down to some of the other multiple choice that were asked of these folks, and you have, is crypto ready for institutional adoption? And you actually have 43% saying yes. And then for the next question, you have, is crypto ready for commercial adoption? So, you know, institutional versus commercial, it's more about sort of high net worth or, you know, big firms and companies sort of investing assets within crypto versus, you know, are people ready to start using crypto to buy things at Walmart and Amazon and things like that? So when you look at that again, you see institutional, 43% think we're ready. And you look at commercial, 33% think we're ready. That's pretty interesting to suggest that there's still sort of minority opinions. They are, you know, for institutional, it's almost a plurality because there's 43% of people that say neutral. For commercial adoption, it's actually a second fiddle to 38% of people that think they should remain neutral when it comes to commercial adoption, and 29% of people say no, commercial adoption is not ready. So you can kind of parse that to mean that, yeah, it does seem like the whole narrative between institutional versus commercial has a winner, and that is the institutional, you know, product market fit is where crypto is headed. And I do think you can see that when it comes to obviously what's going on in BTC. There's a lot of hype around DeFi or decentralized finance when it comes to the Ethereum community, and a bunch of financial instruments and services being developed there to satisfy the wants of institutional investors you know, within Ethereum. So there does not seem to be the same hype when it comes to, like, how do we make applications that enable people to spend cryptocurrency earlier? And, you know, that is obviously from just the feeling that you get from talking to people or viewing social media, is that, like, yeah, that's a minority opinion. And we kind of bear that out in asking this, you know, subset of people in the industry.
And it's not like you underweighted the pro, say, medium of exchange folk. I mean, they're there. I read the report. They are definitely there. So even in a sense, they too are kind of buying into the idea that, well, there's just so many people, you know, with institutional fever that it's going to be difficult for that to overcome. And it's not like they're necessarily mutually exclusive. It's just that there's only so much time, attention, and, you know, resources. And it seems like the market right now, anyway, the sentiment market seems to be, at least, even if it's begrudgingly, acknowledging the fact that maybe first we need some institutions to come in and sort of push the ball along, so that maybe the merchant side, the medium of exchange side, will then follow. You know, I don't know. I'm just guessing. Did I make too many steps there?
Yeah, I mean, it's anybody's guess of where that actually ends up. And, you know, it's hard to say. And when you look at the distribution of where people in the report lined up in terms of their coin preference, the leader there was BTC with 38%. Next was ETH with 24%, and then BCH with 19%. BSV with 5%, and then the remaining percentage was other.
Yeah, and what I thought was super interesting, that other than, say, the bull market idea, sort of the highest trending agreement among them was about stable coins, which it's funny because I thought that was really a hype play in the beginning of this year. And I thought, what is leading anybody to think that stable coins would, you know, have any measurable impact? And I'll be damned. That's really all anybody's talking about, whether that's in the Bitcoin Cash community or, you know, outside of it. There is a lot of talk about stablecoins, and we're set to do another episode here on supposedly one that's pending, but we'll kind of leave that as a sort of foreshadowing teaser here. But what say you about stablecoins? Did that surprise you that there was so much consensus around that idea?
Yeah, I think I was expecting stablecoins to have a good showing. Whether people like them or not, they've certainly proven their use case. Although you do have a substantial chunk of like 33% saying that they're becoming less useful, and I think I
was thinking that maybe because they were so inside, you have so many insider people that they would have been, say, rubbed raw by the Tethers of the world and what's happening with Bitfinex and all that's going on with the New York Attorney General, but that does not seem to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said there that ultimately the flaw of stablecoins is not exactly, you know, are they fast? Are they cheap? Do they actually prevent volatility, you know, baked into the name? All these different attributes, are those bad things? No, they actually kind of do those okay. The problem is centralization when it comes to stablecoins, is that you're trusting a group of people to maintain the peg to the US dollar or whatever other fiat currency they deem. And you can use all of the capabilities that crypto industry has built in terms of wallets, in terms of addresses to send money zigzagging around the world very cheaply. But when it comes to actually understanding if that denomination of whatever stablecoin you have is actually worth the equivalent US dollar, you know, that's really another matter. That's the key thing there. It's, you know, up to the trust that you place in these institutions to secure the necessary reserves that can, you know, allow people to cash out when they so deem. And we found out with Bitfinex that, you know, they were doing fractional reserve. We were finding out that there's a really hard problem, whether we know it or not, with certain other folks that are trying to do stable coins, that, you know, how can you really trust these centralized institutions to kind of keep the peg when that's also something that is really at the antithesis of why crypto is around? It's supposed to be decentralized. I think if we're supposed to rank buzzwords here, you know, we have Bitcoin, we have blockchain, we have crypto, we have all these things. And I would think one of the other, you know, core elements of buzzwords that come along there is decentralized. And stable coins need centralization in order to maintain the peg. So yeah, people have definitely a problem philosophically with the concept. In reality, it's definitely shown to be you know, hard to do. And there's a lot of economists out there that say, you know, countries have trouble pegging their currencies to other foreign currencies. So
exactly.
the idea that you know, some guy you met at a crypto conference gets a harebrained scheme to start his own stablecoin, that guy can actually maintain a peg that, you know, advanced developed economies can't maintain themselves, is a little laughable. So yeah, but ultimately, whether the centralization question starts to prop its head again, or if there's companies like Gemini that can actually provide some level of centralized trust that certain demographics don't exactly care one way or the other, as long as they're enabling those attributes. Like, you know, it's easy to send. It doesn't, you know, change in price up and down, like, you know, 20%. And, you know, it brings all those use cases forward. People are gonna see a value there. And and I think that even though there was a substantial portion of people that think stablecoins are becoming less useful, my personal opinion there is that they are here to stay, that they do serve a purpose. And even if it's just to be a temporary home for your money that you're kind of exiting from a trade position and you're parking it there just so, hey, I don't want to cash out to whatever fiat, so I'm just going to hold it in this sort of quasi, you know, crypto fiat in between, you know, chimera hybrid. It's kind of hard to say what the future will be there with stablecoins, but they're most likely going to be in the crypto future.
Yeah, it does. It definitely looks that way. And say, let's end here and ask you kind of a juicy question. Was there anything that just completely floored you that when you started, you figured, well, I kind of know the answers to these already? Was there any answer or any particular personality that you contacted that you were like, well, kind of shocked that they said that? Or maybe someone you want to throw under the bus that you really thought you were going to get, but you didn't get?
Yeah, I will be a good, semi-journalist and not reveal the folks that turned me down.
There you go.
Of the people that are within the report, I enjoyed reading all their commentaries. I thought that, a number of people had some really interesting things to say. I had Bobby Ong. He's the co-founder of CoinGecko. And just to give you a snapshot here, he said, in Q2, we most definitely saw crypto coming out of winter and into spring. Whether this sustains into the summer or not is anyone's guess. But recent negative events such as the Bitfinex insolvency and Binance hack did not dampen prices as how it usually would. Teams are building all around the ecosystem, and we are seeing strong growth in Lightning Network, DeFi, and many others. There are still many crypto exchanges being created, but the community is now smarter and is relying on other data points to determine exchange real liquidity as the community fights back against fake data. Exchanges are being forced to be innovative to compete and are offering various products such as margin trading, futures trading, staking, among others, to stand out from the rest. And why I thought this was particularly interesting is sort of the little tidbit that he sandwiched in the middle when he talked about fake exchange data. And that definitely was a big story, but it seems to maybe have faded. But to the sense that we're really grappling with this idea of how we actually determine, like, what is the market for cryptocurrency and ultimately what are the prices? Because if you have a bunch of places that are making up fake volume and basically manipulating the price that ultimately, you know, forms an index of other exchange contributing data. And, you know, we're getting a distorted picture of the ultimate value of all these coins. And we're getting a distorted picture of like how much people are actually, you know, buying and selling. And so I think this is a very important issue that the crypto industry needs to solve. It seems to be solving in some ways here and there. The big revelation that came out of this was the Bitwise report, where they looked at exchange data across the spectrum, and they came out with a list of 10 exchanges that actually they validate as having real volume, while the rest of the exchanges, and there's a lot more than 10, they say are not reporting real volume. And as much as 95% of reported volume in the crypto industry could be potentially falsified. So this is something that I thought was pretty unique. Not a lot of other folks mention this, but Bobby did, and I thought it was a great point to make there. And then somebody that had a little bit more of not so much a direct take, a very detailed oriented analysis, but that was Mr. Bryce Wiener, the CEO of AltMarket, and he said, "We are all growing up together, and being a little older than most, I see things a little differently. Stick around for a few years, and you'll still see people change, because that's what we do. We change the world by changing each other. We are change agents, and I really like where we are going." Thought that was a nice little heartfelt commentary that was unexpected. That I thought I was going to get more of a analysis from Bryce, but he gave quite the nice little sermon there to for everyone to take a step back and check themselves.
All right, man. Well, appreciate you coming on and another great Peter Ryan report. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, people can follow me at Twitter @_PeterRyan. That's where you can find some great stuff. I tweet quite a bit, charts, data, reporting of the industry, some really cool memes, stuff like that. Also, recently launched, you can follow me at RyanResearch.co. It's my new research firm, and we'll be reporting on mainly cryptocurrency as well as other cutting-edge technologies. You can find articles, videos, podcasts that I've been on, and you can soon find in-depth and data-driven reports on there that cover the gamut when it comes to what's going on in this industry. And always, please subscribe to my newsletter when you get there.
You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io.